Already. Oh.
All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by former Barker Beauty musician as well, Miss Kathleen Bradley. How's it going, Kathleen?
Hi there. It is wonderful. God is good, and we're blessed and just enjoying all the different variations of the weather here in Greater Los Angeles.
So I have to ask you first off, do you miss being a Barker Beauty?
You know, I do. I must say the 10 years that I was on the show was very good, was very good to me. And I did enjoy being a Barker Beauty. We had a lot of great perks. It led me to a lot of different avenues in the entertainment industry because of the exposure. And I miss it. I miss how I went out. You know, it wasn't a good thing how we got terminated, Janice and I. It was quite a surprise. I thought we had at least 10 more good years left to go. But, you know, when one door closes, when another opens. So that's how I look at it.
Are you surprised the show's moving to Glendale? I mean, did that take you by
I
surprise?
am surprised. As a matter of fact, Roger Dobkowitz, who was one of the main associate producers on the Price is Right for a long time and still good buddies with Bob Barker, was telling everyone that it is moving after all of these years and what headache it's going to be for a lot of the people who working on the show to try to get there and on the freeways and different things of that nature, and probably the setup's going to be different. So yeah, it is what it is. I was surprised, you know, who thought it would move like that, because the Bob Barker studio there at the CBS is just synonymous with the name of the Price is Right.
Did you ever get to interact with Bob outside the show, or is Bob kind of a pretty private person?
You know, Bob, he was, when I first got on the show, it was really wonderful. All the interactions with me and the models and even the production staff and Bob would actually take the models out and the production staff to, dinners like on Thanksgiving and on some of the holidays, and we go down in his dressing room for his birthday, have champagne and cake, and we go in there for a different like a day we were going to be going on hiatus for Christmas and what have you. You know, he took us, like I said, to a few different restaurants. He really liked Indian food. He's a vegan, so he liked that a lot and different things, and so we did interact somewhat outside of the normal work schedule or work environment, and it was always just so nice, and everybody was so personable, and we were more like a family. But you know, unfortunately, that got a little tarnished when Diane Parkinson left, and she said that it was she was suing Bob for sexual harassment, and
Well,
that
you
really
know.
changed his whole persona. That really hurt him. And you can kind of understand how he was just an American apple pie, the guy, the handsome man who everybody loved and giving away all these wonderful gifts. And it was the Mecca going there. And for this man to be even remotely accused of sexual harassment or anything else, it really tarnished his whole persona and his whole inner being. You can just imagine. Even
And
though
there
he was vindicated, actually he wasn't vindicated. Actually, she just dropped the case because she knew she did not have a leg to stand on. But it's just like having, you know, someone being accused of something big, wide open in all of the press and everything and television and media. And then the vindication comes a little third page in the back of a newspaper that nobody reads or sees, right? So
Yeah.
people are stuck with that thought in their mind. And you know what? Unfortunately, people still ask me to this day, did Bob try to hit on you? Was Bob like that? And he wasn't at all. He was really a gentleman, actually a very good, kind person.
Yeah, I was going to say there was no merit to anything that those models had accused Bob of, because that was dropped in court. I know I'm just echoing what you said, but Bob was on the Late Show with David Letterman announcing that he won the case. There was nothing those models could do.
No, really. I mean, really weren't. And I don't know, like, what happened, what came after when Diane did and said, oh, excuse me,
Cause her
finished
a glare on
did
there.
all of that. But it had no merit, like you said, not whatsoever, none. I never saw any of that.
Now, you had gotten seriously injured one time when you were on The Price is Right?
Yeah, I got injured. I wouldn't say seriously injured, but it was such a fluke accident with Holly and myself during one of the showcases that, some of it's kind of still a blur, but it was a big a boat, a nice size boat that we were giving away, and it had a, I guess, the front part of the hull, you call it, or whatever. And when the guys were rolling it out and taking it out, as they were rolling it, taking and swinging it out, Holly and I were coming out on the next level with the showcase with the big cast iron stove, one of these big industrial stoves, and we were wheeling it out. I think you were wheeling it out, yeah. And the boat was going in, and the boat hit the stove,
Oh
and
no.
it was that much force, and it knocked the stove over, and I froze. One of the stage hands had to pull me out of the way. I could have literally had probably lost a limb, or my leg would have been crushed. And some of the other parts from that stove, as it fell over, it was like shrapnel. Somehow, I don't know. Like I said, it was kind of a blur. It happened so fast. And some of it, hurt Holly. And, we would had little minor abrasions and things, and just black and blue marks from being pulled out of the situation. But it was crazy, man. Something, I really don't think about that much. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was quite an interesting time.
You still have the scars from it to prove it and say
No, I
it
don't.
was it.
No, it was quite something that, and I, like I said, I don't really think about that much when I think about the show, unless people ask me about it. It's something you kind of forget. But I mean, it could have been worse. So
Yeah.
we were kind of fortunate that it was how it happened, you know.
So I also have to say, The Price is Right had one of the most colorful announcers at one time with those coats that he wore. Rod
Rod
Roddy.
Roddy. Oh, Rod was just such a wonderful person, and with it, he was so flamboyant.
Yes.
And with his, like, Liberace, he was the Liberace of announcers,
Yeah.
with his coats and his dress and just the way he would deliver things. But he was just such a wonderful, sweet, kind person. Everybody loved Rod. And it's unfortunate some things that had happened on the show I wasn't real privy to or knowledgeable about. But as I did write a book, which we'll talk about, but when I was doing some interviews with certain people, it kind of I found some things out I didn't know about on the backstage side of The Price is Right, that Rod had had cancer, which I knew at one point, and he took a little leave, and then he came back, and I think Janice and I had been gone at that point in time. But he really somehow, and I can't get the story straight, but he somehow, Bob did not really do right by Rod at some point when he took his leave and when he came back. And I don't know the full story. That's why I don't like to repeat it. But everybody basically had a good rapport with him. And, as things went on in time, and right before I left the show, everybody was getting treated a little differently after that incident with Bob and Diane, which was terrible. We used to be able to go out on stage, and Bob would talk to the girls and ask us questions, especially if we had a double overbid on the showcases. We'd have a little time to kill, and he would ask us certain questions or say hi to people or different things. All that just stopped, but everybody was affected by it, even Rod. Rod used to be able to come out on stage with us at the end of the show. Because a lot of times they never panned over toward him, maybe once during the show, and that was cut short as well.
Did do you think Diane accused Bob just for the money's sake, trying to get money out of Bob?
She was definitely a woman scorned, because she and I were actually very good friends. She befriended me when I got on the show because of her relationship with Diane and Holly was not a very good relationship at that time. Of course, at some point, they all got along very well and were great friends and happy together and doing things. But there were some things that happened, like almost right before I got there, that was related to Janice or Janice's husband or something. And I'm not going to repeat it, and I can't. But they fell out. And Holly and Janice, they never got along that well. And Diane and Holly and Janice didn't get along that well with Diane, period. So it was kind of a good thing I came along, and I was like, Diane's new best friend. But I was still very good and close with Diane, Holly, and Janice because I was Switzerland, right? I was neutral. I didn't want to get into any arguments or anything or find out or side with one person or the other. So I didn't want to have to deal with that. But, Diane, she would talk to me after she left and she said she had intentions of suing him. She told me that on the phone because we would talk a little bit on the phone after the shows. I said, Diane, that's not right. I said, why would you say and do that? Well, I am. I'm just going to do it because there was another younger version of Diane on The Price is Right when she left. I guess she thought maybe she really couldn't be replaced because you have to think about it. The models on that show had been on there for, when I first got there, Janice had been the longest running model on there for 17 years. And then comes Diane, close up like 15, and Holly had been on there maybe 12 or so. And I was a fourth added model and also the first black model on the show. But I think when Diane did leave, and then in walks Gina Lee Nolan,
Oh yes,
beautiful
from
little
Baywatch.
younger version of Diane, and having to sit home and watch this show and how it, somebody was taking your place and her career was kind of going in one direction with the Playboy, this and that and the other, but I think she thought she perhaps was going to get a little bigger boost with her career after having left The Price is Right than she did, which didn't really manifest or happen into the way that it should have. But when she was sitting there, I'm sure watching Gina Lee, she thought, I'm gonna just go out on the limb and just say, Bob, sexual harassment. She wanted some attention. I don't know. Maybe she, I understand she got a pretty decent severance pay leaving. I don't know how much or whatever, but for her motives and reasons, I think it was just jealousy and just vindictiveness. And everybody on the whole show, all the cast, the crew, production people, everybody knew it was a consensual relationship with Bob and Diane. We all knew. So she was kind of fighting a losing battle, and we did have to do a little deposition and testify to that degree for Bob on Bob's behalf. So her motives were different.
It sounds like it, yeah. So, what was your favorite game on The Price is Right?
I like
Oh,
Plinko.
Plinko, you're a Plinko lady,
Yeah,
huh?
and I was actually the Plinko girl. At some point, every model was able to have a game we call our own that we would frequent and do. And I definitely was or have become the Plinko girl. And I just love that. It's so easy. You didn't have to guess anything or a price or watch a guy fall off over the Swiss Alps or put this price with that price and match it and mix it and everything. Of course, we had so many different games, but Plinko was, I think, a lot a favorite of many people. Take these discs, but you did have, in order though, to get the discs, you did have to have some knowledge of some pricing because when you guessed it right, you would get a disc, and if you didn't, you wouldn't. So obviously, the more discs you would get, the more better of your chances were to have more money as you send it going down, 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 down. Where it lands, nobody knows. It was kind of a crapshoot, Las Vegas kind of game. But it was fun, and people love doing that.
Do you think Drew's doing a good job, in Bob's place?
Drew Carey, my fellow Ohioan, he's doing as good a job as I think anyone could have done or do in terms of filling Bob Barker's shoes, which was a very difficult road ahead for anyone. And I know initially when Drew got on the show, of course I wasn't watching it that much anyway, but I was curious. And Drew was a little frumpy, and I would imagine or think that some of the producers or people brought it to his attention that he needed to lose some weight. As you can see, probably within the 6 months after he was there, he dropped a lot of weight, looked much better, more presentable. Because one thing about it, Bob was always known for his tall, I will say tall, dark, and handsome, statuesque looking, and so refined and so well manicured and dressed. And like I said, Drew came off a little more frumpy, which I'm sure Bob, he had a lot to do with who was getting hired, and he did not really want the likes of our John O'Daly, maybe George Hamilton kind of guy. That was too close to Bob. So I don't know who made the decisions. I'm sure it was a collaboration between Bob, who was still an executive producer in CBS, Fremantle, and they came up with Drew. And he's coming to his own after a certain period of time. It took time for him to do that because you can see at the very beginning, he was a little gun shy, a little reluctant, which is only natural when you're trying to take someone else's place in either a game show or talk show or host something that someone has been so well known, loved, revered, and respected in that you're nervous and you just have to deliver. But he's doing his thing now. I don't know if I quite like the setup that they have. And I know probably because of the pandemic, a lot of the shows, even what's the one, Let's Make a Deal, they've changed the audience perspective, how they're seated. They're already there. I miss the big audience. I think it's crazy and stupid at this point to have pre-set little couches and love seats and things with people that you already know are going to be a part of going up and coming on down. The whole mystique and excitement of the show was you didn't know in this vast audience who was going to be chosen, because the process is when people get there, they go on, they stand in line, and one of the producers will go out and talk to them briefly, get a little information about them, and everybody obviously trying to get a cross section of players of color, of stature, of women, men, age, and all of that, which makes it exciting. Everybody likes to have somebody they can relate to. But now, since the pandemic, and obviously didn't want people sitting close enough to each other with the masks and stuff coming up, they're still keeping that format with the audience seating. I think it's I don't like it. You want to know there's like 50 people sitting in the audience, and the excitement builds as the announcer says, "Jim O'Hurley, come on down," and they pan through the audience and they look around, and there's a guy jumping out, coming down. Boy, we didn't know he was going to come down. But dang, you know who's going to come down. One of the 10 or 15 people that are already there. It's like, it took away, it takes away from some of the mystique and the whole essence of the show and how it first started. It's just different like that.
Speaking of being chosen, me and my family got to go to the Price is Right taping with Drew, and so I think Stan Blitz was the name of the producer that did all
That's
the.
right, Stan Blitz, exactly.
He asked me because I was a young guy then,
He was a director. He became a director, Stan Blitz.
but he's no longer there, right?
I don't think so. I'm not sure who's there. I lost track so many years ago.
I told him what I wanted to do in life, and I told him I want to be a cop. And so he paused for a second and said, "Do you like donuts?"
That's what he got out of it, huh?
That's
That's
what
great.
he
Stan
asked
was a
me.
cool guy, though. But yeah, it just never actually was the same when Bob left. And like I said, after the pandemic, they're trying to be as safe and having just a few minutes. I hope when they move to the new studio, I hope that they have an audience seating arena, so a lot of people will come. And because, quite frankly, I will tell you, me being an ASAG-AFTRA member, I get a lot of the casting calls and different things of that nature. And unfortunately, they were looking for people to become audience participants for The Price is Right, to fill seats. You never had that before. People would write in to get tickets. They'd have to wait 2 or 3 months just to hear back and get tickets and come from all over the United States. But here they are asking the casting people, "Hey, can you get some extras for some background people to come sit down in the audience? We don't have enough people." That's crazy. Their whole process is dumb and stupid and different. Same thing with the Let's Make a Deal. Though I like Wayne Brady, and I really never used to watch Let's Make a Deal, but I have watched it because of Wayne Brady, and they have the same kind of format, and people come there dressed up, and you kind of know who's going to get picked. Come on, let's give me an audience. People like a good audience and excitement.
And I know that in 100 days from now, Bob Barker will be 100 years old.
Yes, he will. And the irony of all of this? My grandson, who will be 16, he has the same birthday as Bob on
Oh, no
12,
way.
12,
December
12,
12th.
12. That's Bob's birthday. So, yeah, Bob and my mom would have been 100 as well. They were the same age. I must say one thing, though, about Bob. He was a great host,
As he
bar none.
was. Oh,
He
my
was a
goodness.
great person even backstage when we would have our family members come and the people and on the staff and what have you, they will allow us to have so many people come sit in the audience afterwards, come backstage and take pictures with them, greet them, hug them, all kind of things. And I have so many photos of my family and friends that used to come backstage when I was on this show, and he would make them feel so warm and welcome at backstage. He was that kind of guy.
I
So,
have a Bob Barker story for you.
pardon?
I have a Bob story to talk about what you're doing.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah, so Bob was out with Roger Dobkowitz and I think some other people, and these people went up to ask Bob for an autograph, and it was constantly one person after another. And so Roger Dobkowitz leaned over to Bob and said, "Bob, you're not getting to eat. I mean, you came out to eat, didn't you? And why are you keep getting up?" And so Bob leans over back to Roger and says, "These are the people that made our show. I feel like I owe them to give back to them because they gave us our show."
That's the kind of guy he was. I've been out, like I said before, when he used to take the models and the staff out for dinner or for holidays, and people would approach him, and he was that kind of kind guy, would always take time for them. And a perfect example, what I would say, and it's literally true, he was the kind of guy who would give you the shirt off his back. One day during rehearsal, and when I got there early during the taping show, rather, I was going to the commissary there at CBS down the hallway, and Bob was coming in. Bob would always drive in, bring his own clothes. He didn't need a valet, he didn't none of that. So I have to, we gave him credit driving in and doing that. And he parked in the back. I was walking down, and he had on the most incredible shirt. It was yellow stripes and had blue in it. I said, "Why?" He said, "Hi, Kathleen. Good morning." I said, "Hi, Bob." I said, "Wow, Bob, I love that shirt. That is amazing. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, man, that's nice." And don't you know, at the end of the show, when it's over and Bob has his suit on, he usually goes home with his suit. He doesn't really undress and go dress again. He usually would go home in his suit. He gave me that shirt that he had that I told him I liked. I still have that shirt hanging in my closet. He gave that to me from Bob Barker. I was like, "Bob, really?" He said, "Yep, here you have it. You take it." And I wrote about it and put it in my book, which I was telling you, I wrote the book backstage at The Price is Right, Memoirs of a Barker Beauty. And that's the kind of guy that I like to know and remember. Because there was some bittersweet times when Janice and I got let off the show, and how he kind of transformed and changed a little bit over the years. But I still know, see that big smile and the kindness, and the person that I look on TV. Sometimes people have a lot of clips of the Bob Barker beauties on the YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a whole group of Bob Barker beauty fanatics. There's a guy or somebody, he clips every model, like all of the best of Kathleen Bradley, volume one, volume two, through the years, the best of Holly Halston, the best of Diane Parkinson and Janice. You can go online and look at this. This guy gets all these clips, which I am, and I'm sure hopefully the girls of the Barker Beauties are grateful for, as we probably would not have these clips. And he just went on and found them somewhere. I don't know where, but he had every show that I was probably on for the 10 years, and many for Janice and Holly, and put them online, which is a saving grace. You know, I look at them, I'm like, wow, I remember that, going in the hot tub, the best of Kathleen Bradley in swimsuit. Da, 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 da. Oh my gosh. But yeah, Bob's gonna be 100. Yeah, bless his heart.
So talking about you specifically, moving away from The Price is Right, but you actually used to work for Berry Gordy. You were signed by Motown.
Yes, we were the love machine. Seven girls, young ladies. We were like 19, 20 years old, 23, 21. And we originated from Maverick's Flat nightclub here in Los Angeles, which is a very famous nightclub. It's been around for like over 50, 60 years. And a gentleman by the name of John Daniels, who owned the Maverick's Flat, he was also a producer and owner of the Miss Black California beauty pageant. So I got
Which you
involved in the
won.
pageant, huh?
You won Miss Black
I won Miss
California.
Black California 1971. And saying that to say, John had some other young ladies and people he wanted to put together and have seven females in a group. Okay, there were already Temptations with five of them. And he had another group called the Seven Souls. They were a mixed group of guys from Asia, white, black, that did things and played horns. For some reason, John's lucky number, I guess his fixation on seven was ideal. So he did. He got us together. We rehearsed, we practiced, we wore nice big long boots and platform shoes and very scantily clad. And the very first place we ever worked and played in was Saint-Tropez, France. Can you
Ooh.
imagine back then in 71,
In
72?
France. Wow.
We were also young and green. We pulled into flew into Paris. We got the plane and I mean, the train to down to Cannes and Nice, and got the bus into Saint-Tropez. It was very fascinating. We also had a band, the 8-piece band, but they were not the Love Machine. But and John was very aggressive, a great producer, and he hooked it up for the Love Machine to sign with Motown. And I think it was in 73, 74, something like that. We worked with Norman Whitfield, Stevie Wonder, Hal Davis. The Miracles actually wrote the song, She's Just a Love Machine, and I won't work for nobody but you. They wrote that for us, about us,
Wow.
because actually, Smokey Robinson had just left the Miracles. Thank you. In walks Billy Griffin to take over Smokey's place. And they knew us. We had worked with the guys. They saw us rehearsing. They loved us. All the other artists, the Temptations, and everybody that was at Motown knew and loved us and our energy. And we were just really a ball of, we were like Tina Turner, Temptations, Beyoncé, J-Lo, all wrapped up into one. We had that high energy. And they loved us. So the Miracles, Billy Griffin said, I'm just a love machine and I won't work for nobody but you, meaning John Daniels. We were like, he was our manager. We wouldn't work for anybody. Love making, soul shaking, love machine. And we were supposed to sing that song. They wrote it for us. We were supposed to record it, rather. Billy Griffin and Pete Moore went in and presented it to Berry Gordy. Berry listened to it. He said, wow, that's a great song. Man, I love it. But I think you guys need to sing it and record it. Lo and behold, Barry, and then Billy Griffin really did try to say, no, man, we could put him on our label because we were phasing out of the Motown at that period of time. Little did we know then. And they said, we can put him on one of our labels. And Barry Gordy fought them tooth and nail. Well, they guys were trying to fight Barry tooth and nail. But Barry Gordy convinced them to record the song. And we were just ASSED out of it. And to this day, every time we hear it, you know, we could have been a one hit wonder. That was a wonderful, great song of us, about us, and for us. So, you know, I soak my head. Time I hear it. It could have really put us on the map.
Barry's about as old as Bob is.
Yeah, Barry's up there. Barry's 96, I think.
Yeah,
He's
he's
not quite as old as Bob, but he's
okay.
up there.
But he's getting
I
close
see
to
him
it.
every now and then out in a couple of events and places and some special events, and
Well,
he's looking
next time you see
pretty
him, tell
good.
him hello for me, will you?
Okay, I will. You look
Absolutely.
pretty good.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, and I would just like to say, I touched a little bit upon my
Oh,
book.
yes, your book,
And
yes.
for those people, listeners, hey, just get the book. It's on Amazon, or you can go to my website, which is KathleenBradley.tv, and order a copy. It really came out like in 2014, but it's still very current and very relevant. And it's a good read. It's a lot of fun. It's my story, and you'll enjoy it, I guarantee you. Backstage at The Price is Right, Memoirs of a Barker Beauty.
Memoirs of a Barker Beauty. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you.